I met a woman once who told me that she prayed at every stoplight, "Lord, do you want me to go left, right, or straight?" Now, I don't know if she was joking or if she actually spent her days endlessly winding her way through the city. But I know I thought, who would pray for that? I mean, it didn't make sense to me. You can't even get on Google Maps. You can't go there and say, shortest route, let's see, quickest route, God's route. No, you can't navigate like that. Why was she praying for something like that? I wondered what it'd be like to pray like her, to seek God's direction at every moment. In the Bible, there are lots of people who pray for things that we don't usually pray for. And throughout this season of Lent, we're going to be looking at some of these great Bible prayers. These prayers where people are praying for things that maybe we never even thought to pray about. And before we get into those Bible prayers, though, I want to ask you to think about how you pray. What is your usual prayers? You know, most of us, we have a list that we include in our prayers. And it may not be praying at stoplights, but what do you pray for as regularly as encountering a stoplight? Do you pray for good health, to have money, for your friends and family, an end to the pandemic, to lose weight, to look good, to feel good? I mean, we all have our list. And 90% of the times when I pray, there'll be a time when I just click into the list and I start checking them off, going down in my prayers. It's almost like pulling up to the drive-thru and ordering my usual. You know, you just know what they are and you tick off your lists. Or maybe it's like one of those stories of the genie in the lamp that gives you your wish, and we have our wish list. Here, God, here's my wish list. You know how those genie in the lamp stories go, right? Woman's wandering along. She finds a dusty old oil lamp. She picks it up, brushes it off, and out pops the genie who says, "I will give you how many wishes?" Three wishes, right. I don't know why it's always three wishes, but you get three wishes. So the woman says, "All right, my first wish is that I wish I were richer than anybody in the whole world." And poof, she was richer than Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, all of them put together. For my second wish, she says, "I wish to be more beautiful than a supermodel, than even the most beautiful supermodel." And poof, she made Kate Moss and all the other supermodels look like they dropped out of beauty school. The genie says, "You got one more. And she says, "All right, for my last wish, I wish that I were brighter than the smartest scientist in the world." And poof, she turned into a light bulb. Yeah, I know, it's a dad joke. But the point is, we have our wish list. And so often, isn't our prayer life like that? Here's our list, God. And we start ticking them off, and sometimes it works out for us, and sometimes it doesn't. But so often our prayer life doesn't change much. It's the same old wish list. But what if we prayed for something different? What if we prayed for something that wasn't usually on our list? And that's what we're going to look at this Lent. And we're going to start with the story of Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3. Consider his conversation with God. Solomon loved the Lord and followed his father David's instructions. But Solomon also offered sacrifices and burned incense at the shrines. The most important shrine was in Gibeon, and Solomon had offered more than 1,000 sacrifices on that altar. One night, while Solomon was in Gibeon, The Lord God appeared to him in a dream and said, Solomon, ask for anything you want, and I will give it to you. So it's almost like that genie in the lamp kind of thing, only it's only one. He only gets one. And he could have simply whipped out his list and just picked one off his list, right? The list that we all have that we lift up in prayer. But instead, it goes like this. Solomon answered, My father David, your servant, was honest and did what you commanded. You were always loyal to him, and you gave him a son who is now king. That's him. Lord God, I am your servant, and you've made me king in my father's place, but I'm very young and know so little about being a leader. Actually, he was probably in his early 20s. But still, he felt overwhelmed by the responsibilities that he faced, and he turns to God with his one great request. And now I must rule your chosen people, even though there are too many of them to count. Please make me wise and teach me the difference between right and wrong. Then I will know how to rule your people. If you don't, there's no way I could rule this great nation of yours. Solomon could have had anything off of his wish list. Anything he wanted for himself. He could have had great wealth. He could have had wonderful looks. He could have had amazing power. He could have had anything. God says, ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. But instead, he asked for wisdom. Now, who would pray like that? Who would ask for wisdom out of everything else in the world? Maybe someone who knows that wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing we desire could be compared to it. As Solomon wrote about in Proverbs 8:11. Someone who is more concerned with knowing right from wrong for the sake of the people and for the sake of being the leader that God calls him to be. You look at somebody like Solomon and we wonder, why aren't more of our leaders praying like that? But in all fairness, why aren't we praying like that? When was the last time you prayed for wisdom? Is it at the top of your prayer list? You know, we may not be kings or queens. We may not even be mayors or bosses. We may not be in positions of great power, but every one of us is in a situation where we need to know right from wrong, where we need to make choices to fulfill our own wish list or to become the kind of person God wants us to be. We all face those things. Every one of us needs wisdom. Are you praying for it? Are you praying for it in your relationships? Are you praying to be the son or daughter or mother or grandfather? Are you praying to be the friend, the neighbor, the fellow church member that God wants you to be? Are you praying for the wisdom for that? Are you praying for wisdom in all of your decisions to know right from wrong, from the loving, from the unloving, from godly, from ungodly? Are you praying for wisdom in your work or your school? You may not be the leader there, or maybe you are, but whether you're like Solomon or whether you're at the very entry level, we all have decisions to make, and we all need wisdom to be the people God calls us to be. When I was Solomon's age, back in my early 20s, I was not the leader. In fact, I was probably, a coworker and I were probably the two lowest on the totem pole at work. And one day the boss called us into his office and he said, I want you to do something. And what he wanted us to do was unethical. He had a side job, and what he wanted us to do was to work for him on his side job and then bill the hours to the company. This way, we would get extra hours and we needed the money, but he wouldn't have to pay anything. As he said, it's a win-win. Now, we needed wisdom because we had a decision to make. Would we go along with what he did? Put ourselves in that situation where we would be not the people that we wanted to be? Or would we turn him down and lose all that money and risk being fired? We face decisions like that all the time, don't we? Maybe not decisions that are actually criminal, but we do face choices of what kind of person do we want to be? What kind of person does God want me to be? And we need wisdom to know what to do. Are we praying for it? Solomon prayed for it. He prayed for wisdom, and he got it. And he also got his wish list as well. Here's how God responded to Solomon's request. God said, "Solomon, I'm pleased that you asked for this. You could have asked to live a long time or to be rich. You could have asked for your enemies to be destroyed. But instead, you asked for wisdom to make right decisions. So I'll make you wiser than anyone who's ever lived or ever will live. I'll also give you what you didn't ask for. You'll be rich and respected as long as you live, and you'll be greater than any other king. If you obey me and follow my commands as your father David did, I'll let you live a long time too." Solomon prayed for wisdom, and he got it, and he got everything else on the list. It's sort of like if the genie in the lamp said, "Wow, your first wish was so great, I'll give you 3 extra ones." Or maybe it's really more like what Jesus says in Matthew 6. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be added as well." Seek wisdom to know what's right and wrong. Seek wisdom to become the person God wants you to be. Seek wisdom. I wonder what would happen if we did. I don't think we'd regret it. Solomon certainly didn't. Do you know the story that follows his request for wisdom? It's the famous story of the women that come to him to make a decision, a life and death decision about a child. One day, 2 women came to King Solomon, and one of them said, "Your Majesty, this woman and I live in the same house. Not long ago, my baby was born at home, and 3 days later, her baby was born. Nobody else was with us. One night while we were all asleep, she rolled over on her baby and he died. Then while I was still asleep, she got up and took my son out of my bed. She put him in her bed. Then she put her dead baby next to me. In the morning when I got up to feed my son, I saw that he was dead. But when I looked at him in the light, I knew he wasn't my son. No, the other woman shouted, he was your son. My baby is alive. The dead baby is yours, the first woman yelled. Mine is alive. And they argued back and forth in front of Solomon until finally he said, both of you say that this live baby is yours. Have you heard the story? Great decision to make. And this is a day before they have any DNA testing. These 2 women live on their own. There is no one who can vouch for anything. It's just the word of those 2 women. Now, if he makes the wrong decision, he's going to take a child from its mother and give it to somebody who's lying. How does he make the decision? Well, here's what happened. Solomon said, "Someone bring me a sword." A sword was brought, and Solomon ordered, "Cut the baby in half. That way each of you can have a part of him." "Please don't kill my son," the baby's mother screamed. "Your Majesty, I love him very much, but give him to her. Just don't kill him." The other woman shouted, "Go ahead and cut him in half. Then neither of us will have the baby." Solomon said, "Don't kill the baby." Then he pointed to the first woman. "She is his real mother. give the baby to her, the one that was willing to give him up so that he could live. Everyone in Israel was amazed when they heard how Solomon had made his decision. They realized that God had given him wisdom to judge fairly. Solomon asked for wisdom, and because of that, a family was saved, justice prevailed, a child was reunited with his mother. What would happen if we started asking for God for wisdom in our prayers? I know you're thinking that was Solomon, and he was probably a lot smarter than me to begin with. Or maybe you're thinking, well, of course God answered his prayer. He's one of those Bible guys. But I'm just me. But have no doubt that God wants to answer your prayer for wisdom too, if you'll just ask. In James 1, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. It will be given to you. It doesn't say that you're going to get your whole wish list and all the things that you have. But if you ask for wisdom, God will give you the wisdom. The wisdom to make those choices to become the person that God wants you to be. The person that you want to be. God will grant that prayer. If we only pray it. So let me challenge you to move wisdom to the top of your prayer list this week. You can pray for all those other things too, but move wisdom to the very top and start there. Say, God, give me the wisdom to know right from wrong. Give me the wisdom to be the kind of person that you want me to be. I challenge you to do that, to move wisdom to the top. And since we're talking about challenges, let me also remind you of the Better Than Fish on Friday challenge this week. Last week we had the prayer bottles, and thank you so much. There's a few more out there if you want to pray for somebody. It doesn't have to be last week. You can grab one of those. But this week, it's very simple. It's to do a Wesley fast like John Wesley and the early Methodists did. They would fast on Fridays until 3 o'clock. So here's the challenge this week, to add fasting to your prayer life on Friday. Now, you can fast any way you want. You can do a regular fast where you give up food but you still drink. You can go all the way, give up food and drink. Or you could do a simpler fast, a bread and water fast, any fast you want. But add fasting into your prayers this week and see what a difference that makes, especially in your prayer for wisdom. You know, throughout the scriptures, prayer and fasting go hand in hand, and there's great power in that. Lent is a 40-day period, and it's a 40-day period because Jesus was tested in the wilderness for 40 days, during which time he prayed and fasted. So what better time to try a fast than this Friday? It's better than fish. Throughout the Bible, you find places like Acts 14 where they are praying for the leadership. It says, in every church, they chose leaders for them, and they went without food during that time so they could pray better. They fasted so they could pray better. Paul and Barnabas prayed for the leaders, giving them over to the Lord in whom they believed. Prayer and fasting, they go hand in hand. And so let me challenge you to do that this Friday, to choose whatever fast you want, but to fast until 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Fasting helps us to pray better. It helps remove the focus on ourselves and taking care of our needs and wants, and turns our focus to God. So what a great thing to add to a prayer for wisdom. A prayer to become the person that God wants us to be. Well, before we wrap up here, you might be wondering, what did my coworker and I decide to do? Well, I can't say that we always made wise choices. We won't talk about the time we turned the shop into a mini golf course. But I can say that in this case, our prayers for wisdom were answered. And we turned We turned the boss down. And he didn't yell or scream or fire us. Actually, I think he was kind of relieved. I think he had second thoughts and realized he didn't want to become that kind of person either. So it all worked out. Soon afterwards, God called me to be a pastor. But I wonder to this day what would have happened and what would have become of me if I hadn't prayed for wisdom that day. Let's pray. God, we pray for wisdom. In all of our lives, we need it. We need wisdom to be leaders, and we pray for wise leaders. We need wisdom to be the person that you call us to be, whatever that is. Whether we're as high up as a king or the very bottom of the totem pole at school or work or at home, we need your wisdom. Teach us right from wrong and teach us how to become the one that you want us to be for your glory and for your honor. Amen.